Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne. Three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel. Today's episode, Till Death Do Us Part, we will be talking about The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today we'll be talking about The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. Spoiler warning for anyone who hasn't read the book yet. While we will be giving initial thoughts and ideas, eventually we will be spoiling the end.
Don't worry, because we will let you know when we get to that part, but feel free to listen up to that point, pause it, come back once you finish the book. And as always, we are adult readers and we are going to say some adult things.
Yes, we are. Yes, especially with this book.
Yeah, this book's got a lot of adult topics.
Well, I feel like you can't talk about a thriller either without spoiling it a little bit. Like,
but it's hard to... Yeah. I didn't feel like it was that adult, though. I mean, he kept talking about having rough sex, but he didn't. There was like no specifics, you know.
What kind? So, yeah.
And other than like where they found semen was like in multiple places, but other than that, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a clinical, anatomical, detailed.
Wasn't it's, scientifically accurate.
Yes,
that would make this a very different podcast.
If yes. Insert tab A into slot B.
Oh, goodness.
That's what I just get tired of sometimes with, like, the spicy books. It's like, oh, my God, I don't want to hear so much about their parts, you know?
I know.
It's like, I don't want to hear. I don't know. It just gets a little too, like...
My favorite, are all the TikToks about, like, women who read those trying to figure out how that works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, have their leg up on, and they're like,
I want all the information. Like, I want to know exactly what you think you're doing, because I am like, that's not possible. There's no way your leg is there and his face is there at the same time. It doesn't work that way.
I
want all the information.
Yes. Sometimes I'll be like, a man wrote that. That is definitely not how it happens.
There is one TikToker that will read out, like, male authors will read out, like, how they described, like, her boobs bounced boobily. like half filled water balloons.
And you're God. Like,
no,
that's not how it happens. No. All right. Well, what's going on, guys? What's been happening in the last
few weeks? I've just been trying to get a ton of hiking in. I've been making videos for the education consulting company that I co-founded, that I started when I quit my librarian job. And we have our first, like, event in a couple weeks in New York. We're taking our planetarium to a maker fair and be getting all the kids. We'll have some fun with our planetarium, and we've got a gravity lab, all sorts of hands-on stuff. So working like around the clock trying to get like binders made and bookmarks and slapping QR codes on things. And do I have a presenter one sheet printed out? So a lot of prep to make it like this is a professional company. Here's all of our stuff.
Very cool.
And also come talk about stars with us.
Very cool.
That's very cool though.
I just got back from camping at Disney World. Fort Wilderness is just my happy place. I mean, it's just Disney adults with travel trailers, and we rent golf carts and decorate the golf carts. And I don't know if you saw my video. There's like some of these people are insane. There's like the man who literally, or the family, the couple rather, they literally have like 200 Star Wars Stormtrooper figures.
Oh, that's so cool.
And
I would nerd out over that.
Right.
Well, they dress them up in different costumes. Like, some of them are like 5 feet tall. I have videos of it. I'll send it to you. This time they were all dressed in lingerie and bathing suits. Okay. At Christmas time, they all have like Disney ears, and they had on different college T-shirts. Takes them literally a day to set them up. And so, like, you rent a golf cart and you drive around and you look at all these crazy things that people do. And, like, we had Easter baskets out, and people dropped off things to our baskets, and we dropped things off to other people's baskets. And because I love books, I brought my little free library with me, my little traveling little free library. And people were taking books from my library and leaving books in my library. Nice. And I did find another library in one of the other camping loops. So I left them some books with some of our bookmarks and stamps. So
good.
It was a lot of fun. So what about you, Sarah? What are you up to?
I went to Traverse City a few weeks ago, which is beautiful for anyone who's ever been in Northern Michigan. It's like, it is one of my happy places. I don't think I could live there in the winter. It's pretty harsh in the winter. We had a 90th birthday party, and it was in the old state asylum up there.
Oh, wow.
They have turned into this condos, shopping centers. Like, I have been fascinated with this place since I was little, because I used to go up to Traverse City when it was literally falling apart. And there's, it's the old kind of asylum where, women went for, hysteria and had lobotomies, and everyone with TB was there. Like, so there's it's really tragic. It's really beautiful now, but I was kind of geeking out. It makes me want to write again, because I was like, ooh, this is so cool.
Yeah, I bet. That sounds cool.
And I went to a few bookstores, of course, when I was there. I have a couple favorites. So, and then our gymnastics injury from last week with my daughter. She went back to school today. So, yeah. It was a weird one. I won't talk about it on air because it's weird, but her face is still pretty bruised. She's
poor kid.
But she has regionals this weekend, so we're hoping to get cleared.
Yeah.
So she can compete. Otherwise, I will be driving to Ohio just to watch.
Oh, that was
She wants to go watch her team. I'm like,
of course.
Five-hour drive to Akron, Ohio. Sorry if you're from Akron, anyone listening, but, you know. Although, the only cool thing about Akron around there is that's where Cuyahoga National Park is.
It is, and it's that's beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to take a day. I told her, I was like, we're going to go a little bit early, and I need to go to this. It's the one, we've not been to this one yet, so.
When Morgan and I did our massive, 6-week road trip, national park road trip, that was the first one we stopped at. And it's an interesting one, because it's not, all continuous. So, Yes, you can go to all these places, but
and there's a town in it. My parents have been there. There's a town still in it. And
there's one really cool hike that we did that took us to waterfalls, but it's you're on a ledge almost. So there's not, you can barely pass people, but there was, my dog's going to scratch the ground like a crazy man over there. There was a nest of snakes in the rocks. Ooh. When we walked through, they weren't poisonous or anything, but they were face height. And I just remember leaning way out over the rail.
Give me this pass by here.
Excuse us. We need to get through here. But beautiful waterfall. But my big takeaway was the wall snakes.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. So, all right. So what are our initial reactions of this book?
Who's going first?
I don't care.
What's that?
I said you.
Me?
Sure.
You're the first one on the sheet.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, so overall, I enjoyed it. I really liked the twist at the end. I did not see it coming. However, some of the writing, the language, the dialogue seemed a little stilted for me. Not something you'd expect someone under 50 to be using. When the way kept referring to what was the girl's name, Kelly, as his mistress. And I just find it hard to imagine a 30-something-year-old person referring to their lover as a mistress. It seems very dated. And some that just seemed kind of, it didn't seem to fit the age frame. Also, I don't know. I almost felt sometimes she was writing what she thought she should be writing, not the way she would normally speak. I don't know how to explain that. Kind of I have to be more professional and write this with fancier words instead of like the words that you would normally use as a 30-something-year-old person. Mm-hmm. Like this is one I wrote down, that that bitch of a mother-in-law really clocked me one, and the gaudy jewels that adorn her knuckles didn't help either. And I just can't imagine someone in their 30s using gaudy jewels that adorn her knuckles as a phrase. That's just
I mean,
me.
I would say gaudy. I love
so
that.
Would I.
Gaudy,
I'm
yeah.
30. I'm not 30 anymore either.
Not anymore.
Gaudy, I can see, but adorn her knuckles? You know, yeah. That bitch had a bunch of rings on her fingers that...
Her
that,
rocks. She had some bunch rocks.
Of, yeah. So that was the only thing. But all in all, you know, here's well, I don't know how deep we're going to go into this right now, but... This past weekend, while we were camping, my adult children came to visit. They hang out with us. And my older daughter brought two books that she wanted to show me. And what were they but the collector's editions of The Perfect Marriage and The Perfect Divorce.
I love that.
I love that too.
And not knowing that we were going to be talking about
this
it.
This is our book, yeah.
And to me, that just speaks volumes. That even though maybe I didn't like jive with the language that much, it doesn't matter because it wasn't written for me. Just kind of like we talked about with Twilight. Twilight wasn't written for me, you know, but it the audience it's written for is eating it up. And I love that because it's creating a whole new generation of readers. So that's where I'll stop for right now.
I found too, I mean, kind of what you were saying, I found it so interesting. And I always read the author's note at the end. Because sometimes I find you learn so much about the book or the person after.
Right.
And having, reading that, first of all, the version, of course, we read was the 2024 version, we assume all of us did, where she rewrote it. Like, she fixed it because she said it was her first book she ever wrote. And she learned a lot. And it was picked up by, like, an independent publisher in the UK to begin with. And so it didn't have good edit. Like, she fully admits, like, this did not have good editing. This so the fact when you say, like, maybe she hadn't found her voice yet.
Yeah.
That, now that
I think
she's
that's a
written
way to
a
say
little
it.
More. So I'm really, that alone makes me want to read The Perfect Divorce.
Yes.
Because I want to see if, like, I know she re-edited it and re-released it last year, like said in 2024, because of a reader who complained, which I love
Scott.
That story too. Scott.
Nemesis Scott. I love Scott.
But it makes me wonder, because like I said, I've read another one of her books, One of Us is Next, and I didn't feel that way about the language in that. I did feel that this was, I was not shocked by the ending.
Oh, really?
I could see it coming, but I read a lot of thrillers. In a way, I feel like, and this is not a bad thing, it's like thriller light, a good way for people to get into it. But I've read, like, I'm a big Riley Sager fan. His stuff messes with my mind.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah Pekkanen and Greer Hendricks, they write together. Same thing. I was like blown away. So maybe because I've read enough of thrillers now, I kind of tend to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
But that being said, it didn't make it not enjoyable. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Well, I kind of see it as like a gateway drug, you know, you know, that sometimes you're not going to start with the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to start with something lighter. And then when you're hooked,
yep.
Then you're going to start looking
then
for harder
stuff.
Then
you can handle because at first I didn't think I could handle like thriller and mystery books. I was like, I want to have nightmares at night. Now I'm like, I listen to them all the time. And then I remembered today too, I think I mentioned this before. I read every Michael Crichton when I was in high school. And that stuff is like some pretty hardcore science thrillers. Like Rising Sun, that dealt with like a rape in a boardroom. I was like 16 reading that and just eating it up. It was so good. Andromeda Strain is very scientific. Obviously Jurassic Park, all those. So now I loved it. I did. I can't wait to go out and get Perfect Divorce. What about you, Kit?
I really enjoyed it. And what I like the most about reading, kind of if we want to call it like thriller, mystery, light, is there's so many little tidbits that are thrown in, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that you're not sure if they're going to play into it.
Yep.
And I'm an overthinker. And that's what I like about reading these kind of books, because I annotated, Sarah, your annotations that you shared look like you can tell you're an ELA teacher. Mine are like an armchair detective. I'm like, who is this dude? This is going to be some next level fuckery, isn't it? All of my me like overthinking things that are not important. Like I have one note. I couldn't even tell you what it's for, but it just says, why is Adam so sleepy? Like, is that an important fact? It's not. It's not. But I was thinking about it. And that's what I liked about this one is when I got to the end and I got to the twist without giving anything away, I literally said out loud to my empty room, excuse you very much. And then I typed it into my annotations like, But I really enjoyed kind of all the twists and turns that I probably invented in my own head. Like, I don't know that they were intentional, but I was like, what is this cop doing now? Like, the sheriff, like, stop over. Like, I read so far into it, but that made it fun for me. And
but that's a good thriller, too, when you constantly are like, this guy did it. Oh, wait, no. No, I'm sure they did. Like, wait, no, they did it. Like,
this guy.
I'm like, you know what's fun is I listened to it after I read it because I read it a few weeks ago and then I listened to it to be prepared for today. And listening to it and hearing so many of those little clues that and those little diversions or, you know, detours that were dropped in there. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I see what you're doing there. You know, that you're trying to, you know, point me in the wrong direction. But
especially now, like once you read it and you know where it ends, like going back and being like, oh, that wasn't important at all. Or something that you completely passed by going, that was a huge clue and I missed it.
Yeah, exactly.
She talks about the fact that she's a red herring kind of author, too.
Yeah.
She specifically throws in red herrings just because she wants to mess with your mind and get you thinking this direction. And
I know. For some reason, my Kindle did not save my notes, but I know one of them was like, Anne seems sketchy. You know,
like, I think I said something like that. So I was like, is Anne in on this? For Adam, the way I think I said this to you guys like on the side, but the way I read him, like all of his, like, he's trying so hard to be fancy and like prove to his mom that he's like, I'm a rich guy too. Like I can live in this world. And he's just failing miserably. A lot of the time, like when some of the words and the way he says things, I'm like, dude, you are trying way too hard.
Right.
Like, to be this person. And you're just like, you're a starving artist and you're acting way too bougie for that situation. Like, put yourself together. And then to the, what does she say? The one that you mentioned, Marianne, the gaudy.
That adorned her medals.
I read that straight up. Like, obviously I live in Colorado now, but I grew up in upstate New York. I read that with the biggest, like, upstate New York accent. I was like, I would have said that in a
gaudy.
Gaudy.
Well, because upstate New York is like mad Midwest. Like, I don't know what happened, but we have way more in common with like Wisconsin than we do with like New York City. And she's from Wisconsin. So when I think I asked that in the group chat, I was like, where is she from? Because I absolutely would have said something like, oh yeah, you with those gaudy jewels, you're just going to smack me in the face. Like I would have said gaudy. I would have said it just like she did. I was like, oh, that's a Midwest. That's a Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Gaudy in Wisconsin.
I literally in my head was like, ooh, that's gaudy. It's a little gaudy.
No, the gaudy part was, and it was the adorn her knuckles. That was okay. But you know what? It doesn't matter. That's me, and it's not written for me, so I'm just going to shut up.
And I think a lot of it was, like, the wording was, I read it to, like, it was trying to make the characters sound like.
Right.
They think they're fancy or something.
Yeah. Well, especially Sarah, because she's supposed to be this hotshot attorney that everybody's scared of. And, you know, so definitely I could see it from her. But, I also thought one thing that was really weird was Adam's aunt thing when he wanted to be an aunt. Okay, that was
his some weird things going on at his head. I definitely that did not like him.
Existential crisis when he wanted to be an ant so he could just, what was it, work all day and then plant his seed in the queen periodically.
I just want to work and eat and screw and be happy with my life. Trek, he's like not unlike what I do now.
trekking into the woods, searching for building material and food to bring back to the colony. I would have friends, a team, a clear sense of direction. Aunt Adam would be born anew. At night, I could rest knowing I put in an honest day's work, fill my belly, occasionally plant my seed in the queen. Really not much different than my own life.
That's why I was like, not much different than your own life. What are you talking about?
I highlighted that, and my note for that just says, do I want to be an aunt? sounds great. Why would I like
okay.
to be an
aunt? Okay.
So, but again, you know, not making fun of it. I just was amused by it. So
I think sometimes that's a great word.
And like, and that stuff so in a thriller, like you need the laugh in a thriller sometimes.
Right.
You need some of those where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And also so if Sarah is like this high powered attorney and she's put in the hard work to get to where she is in her career and she's pretty serious. Like she seems like kind of a straight shooter, like
yeah.
Mm-hmm. She values certain things. And Adam is in his own head all the time thinking about, like, maybe I want to be an aunt. And, like, can you imagine the frustration of the breadwinner coming home and, like, you find your husband just chilling on the couch, like, I worked really hard today. I wrote at the coffee shop.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
I'm thinking about maybe I want to be an aunt.
She, like, buys a house for him. She's like, I bought the lake house for you, basically. And she's like, I never even go there. And
so you can, like, have a writing retreat and you're spending your time thinking about being an aunt.
Insanely jealous.
Eating your yogurt, your go-go.
Okay.
All right. So normally here we would dig into the plot, but we do not want to spoil anything for anyone. So we're going to rearrange ever so slightly. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about travel. And then we're going to dig into the nitty gritty of this story. So, Sarah or Marianne?
Okay, the food. I'll go.
Okay.
I was really fascinated, like, by the restaurants that they went to. Like, with the bitch of the mother-in-law. When took her to, what was it? Pineapple and peaches, or was it?
Pineapple and pearls.
Pearls.
Yeah. I was like, I had to Google it,
and I just was like, paying $350 a person and you don't get to pick what you're eating for dinner seems very interesting. But what I would have liked though more is more a description of like where it was and was this in Georgetown? Where was it on Capitol Hill? Where was this place? Where is this place at in Washington, D.C.? I would like to, as I love D.C., it's one of my very favorite places. I lived there when I was a teenager. And so I would have liked to have been able to picture where it's at rather than just. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, like when she went to the Capitol Grill with Matthew. Oh, my God. One of my favorite lines was from Matthew. We'll have to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, I've got a couple of his lines, too.
But I would have liked more detail about where they were at. Because D.C. is just such an amazing town. There's everything is happening there. You know, like you walk down the street and you're walking past the IRS or you're walking past, you know, the Department of Agriculture and, like, the whole country is being run from there. I just would have liked a little bit more of the atmosphere of DC along with the names, just not the names of the restaurants.
And the history.
Yes.
Like you have what's happening now, but also like that's our whole nation's histories in Washington, DC. There's so much. Yeah. I loved the, I did, like I said, do an entire list of all the food mentioned because I'm weird like that. I always like to see if there's patterns, and I didn't. There wasn't really a pattern, other than sometimes it would be very specific. The only thing that was really significant was Adam and his scotch. That's all he drank was scotch. Where she was drinking champagne, vodka martinis, Manhattans.
Well, it was vodka and soda. Soda. Yeah, that was her big thing, wasn't it?
That was her. But that every time it was like a different.
Yeah.
A different drink. And then coffee. Yeah. Oh my gosh. They drank coffee constantly.
So much coffee.
Which made me laugh. But I loved the whole Capitol Grill thing.
Well, you know what?
A chain, a high end chain. So shout out to my friend Ken in Minneapolis who works at the Capitol Grill Minneapolis. He's super funny, by the way. He has a TikTok account and he does Ken Fessions. Hashtag Ken Fessions.
I love that.
And he is a really funny storyteller, so I'm totally like pushing him because he will be like, so I woke up this morning, and that's going to his big story.
That's a good start. Yeah.
I laugh all the time. So I thought that was cool. I also loved Adam eating the New York strip with his hands.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, Ant-Man.
I don't need silverware. I can use my hands.
You know, yeah. I was just thinking though about him only drinking scotch, and that maybe the pattern there is that he's trying to be more self-important than he really is.
That's his entire personality.
Well, I have that. I'll share one of my favorite, well, my funny quotes, and it has to do with this, from Adam. He says, one would think living in solitude and wallowing in my own self-pity would make me one of the great writers, like a modern day Thoreau or Hemingway. But to date, I have all the alcohol usage of Hemingway, just none of the success to go along.
Right.
With. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's like, I feel like he's trying to be a Hemingway. I'm just going to drink and it's going to make me creative. And I'm
but like the scotch, wonderful. Because scotch is not something like bums on the street are going to drink. No, that's somebody who's super, and especially too, they mentioned that some of the names of some, like the 10-year-old something or another. Uh-huh. You know, so I think that is the pattern there with the scotch that he's trying to be.
Why not drink Jim Beam? Like something a little more accessible, cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
For the starving artist, Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Adamant.
Adamant.
Adamant. Isn't that a singer? Isn't Adamant?
Yes. Like,
I thought the food in this book was like so all over the map, and it just kind of cracked me up because it felt like, again, like to like the self-important thing, like it felt like sometimes they were eating the food they thought they should be eating and not the food that they liked. But I thought the funniest part to me was Eleanor rolling
in. Oh my gosh,
like,
yes.
I think the line is, it's a Lunchables, string cheese, Gushers, Go-Gurt. And she says, all your favorite childhood snacks. My note to myself on that was, mom rocking in with all the good elementary school snacks. I think Eleanor did it just because I don't like her. Like, I was like, who's doing that?
Well, and for her being such a rich snob.
With the gaudy rings adorning her knuckles.
She does three things for Adam. She makes him bacon, eggs, toast, and hash browns.
Yes.
She brings him sausage, cheese, and crackers, literally like a mini charcuterie. And then brings him the Lunchables, string cheese, and Gushers. Like girlfriend, you are supposed to be this rich food lady that, you know, you should be bringing takeout to your kid.
Right.
I thought about her cooking breakfast for him was very out of character.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see her in the kitchen.
So I wanted like 100, again, with the overthinking, I wanted 100 pages on just Eleanor. Like, where did you come from? Because it made me wonder, like, and maybe this was in here and I was reading and overthinking so much that I missed it, but does Eleanor come from old money or did she marry because I started to wonder, like, because she shows up with like the weird snacks, but then she's like at the fancy restaurant looking all like showing off her money. And whenever she's in public, she like takes on this very like cold, calculating kind of persona. And it's, I started to wonder if like maybe she married into money. And she was also constantly trying to prove that she belonged there. But when she was behind closed doors and just with her kids, she was just like, dude, here's
some Gushers.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like she was putting on a little bit of a show, and then Adam is starting to do the same thing.
I think that's a really good point. I don't think you were overthinking it. I think that's a really good point. You know, that
some of it felt really out of place. Like, but I was having trouble figuring out which part of it was real. Like, is she really that kind of hands-on mom that did bring her kid Gushers? You know, if Adam's having a bad day after school, is she making him eggs and sausage, like breakfast for dinner, yo?
Yeah.
Or was she like the person that's like fancy schmancy and like a cold calculating bitch?
Was she the waitress at the diner where his like rich father?
Dude, yes.
That's how she knows how to make bacon, eggs, and hash browns. Because
I could read a whole book on Eleanor. I want to know all the information.
I wonder if she'll show up again in The Perfect Divorce, just because.
Maybe.
You know, I started to read The Perfect Divorce yesterday, And then I decided I would wait on it only because I didn't want it to get jumbled in with The Perfect Marriage. Mm-hmm. But at the very beginning of it, Adam is in the very beginning of it. So I'm assuming Eleanor might show up. Yeah. But this is one of my favorite lines about the Gushers. When he's talking about, I pop one of the candies in my mouth and bite down. The juice oozes out and arouses all of my taste buds to a tart, sweet taste. Just how I remembered it as a kid.
I have never
I totally get it. made me want a gusher. I was like, I want to go eat a gusher now.
Okay, so my children have been nagging me for Easter baskets, even though they're grown-ass adults. And so I made them Easter baskets. I went to the dollar store and I bought them fruit roll-ups and Pop Rocks. And and I was thinking of Eleanor the whole time. So
it's all good.
And they were very appreciative. So
I love it.
Yes. Okay.
Hit all the food stuff. I feel like
I'm guessing, Sarah, you put this in here. Was that what food does this book make you think of?
Yeah,
and I wrote it makes me think of poorly made steak for no particular reason. I just imagine Adam is horrible at cooking steak, and then like all this food because she was like dropping off frozen steaks for him to like thaw out later. And I just really, especially that visual of him like eating his steak with his hands, I was like, I bet he doesn't marinate it. He doesn't like season it. He just like,
it's probably like, well done. And so he's literally gotta like
go over. Yeah, that's why he's like gnawing at it. But then he like grounds it in A1 sauce because he's like, this doesn't taste good. I should put sauce on it. I don't know why, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know who asked this question, but I'm going to overthink the gross steak.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you like read a book, it makes me think like if they mention one food over and over again, that's all I want. Like they'll talk about cannoli or they talk about gelato in a lot of books in Italy. And I'm like, I just want real gelato. I want it so bad right now. Like,
yes.
But you're right. This book, the food was so all over that I was like, I don't know that I want any of this.
Right. Yeah.
The I did. Peppermint there's a
tea. I was like, ooh, peppermint tea. That sounds good right now.
There's a Capital Grill in Denver that I was like, oh, I should go there. Like, I've never really thought about going there before, but as I was walking past it, I was like, maybe I'll go there sometime.
You know what I find interesting is how many books I read that people drink tea in them. Like, and that's not like part of my normal life.
I mean, I'm a tea drinker. I'm a peppermint tea drinker too. So I love tea. I have a tea station in my classroom.
Wow.
I don't do a coffee station. I have a tea station. And mostly my theater kids, especially during show week. Oh my gosh. I make big pots of throat coat. That's all it's terrible tasting because it's got anise in it. And so it's that black licorice and tea is not good, but they are like, hey, God, do you have throat coat? Please. I need throat coat. My throat hurts so bad. And I'm like, here's your tea. They get excited about it. So I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker.
I love coffee.
I don't drink either.
I wish I did.
I'm like a 12-year-old. I drink freaking Celsius like it's my job.
I drink Cherry Coke like it's going out of style. And not Cherry Coke Zero. So I get you on that.
Yeah.
What about the locations?
I think to kind of echo what Marianne said earlier, like I wanted to know more. Like I spent a lot of time wondering, like, where exactly is this lake house? Like I wanted to know... more about it. Like how, like, okay, so we know about how long it takes you to drive there because that was kind of a plot point in terms of like who could have gotten there to be a murderer. But like, I wanted to know more about
the
areas. And like,
I looked it up. I looked the lake up. There's golf courses all around it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And food places.
I just felt like there could have been more.
Yeah,
just I don't tell about like the diner, the neighborhood.
Right.
I guess too. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What kind of neighborhood? What kind of neighborhood was this that he literally walked around with Kelly in the whole town, and nobody batted an eye?
Like,
is this where everyone goes to bring their mistress?
That's kind of like how. That's how I read it. That like, there's some. I think my note said something like, "There is some nonsense happening in this town."
Uh-huh.
Like everybody,
they're all like, "Oh yeah, we saw him together all the time." And I'm like, "Dude, her husband is a cop."
Yes,
like,
right exactly.
How,
yeah.
What do you mean you saw them all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I looked it up, and I like because I know that reporter. mm-hmm. was from supposed to be from Gainesville, Gainesville Sun or Gainesville something or another. And that is a real town.
It's yeah. It's the closest big town next to that lake. Yeah. Have you ever been into that? The neighborhood where their house is in Washington, D.C. is the Kalorama? K-A-L-O-R-A-M-A. Hmm. And I was wondering where that was too. Kalorama, Washington, D.C. Like which area? Same thing. Which area of D.C.?
Is that an apartment building or is that a neighborhood?
No, it's a neighborhood.
It's a historic district. I just looked it up.
I'm looking on my phone.
Okay, so it's kind of.
It's north. It's
near the zoo.
Oh, okay.
It's a little south of the zoo.
Okay.
But is there houses? Like, I don't see. Oh, I guess there are some houses.
There's houses, and then I think there's like brownstones and things like that.
Oh, those are big houses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. When I zoom in, I love Google Maps for that.
Me too.
Yeah, but then again, like we said, it was her first book, and you know, probably didn't really think about having to describe all of that so much. You know?
And I think she even said that in the author's note, if I remember correctly. She said something about, like, I really didn't anticipate this many people reading it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, going back in and editing it, I think she did even add a little bit to just, like, give it some sort of context.
That's what makes me excited to read more, just because I think, you know, an author's first book, like, she's got something there, but I want to see how have we developed.
Yeah. And just like we said about, we were talking in our last episode about like Twilight, how like Stephanie Meyer never knew that her book was going to, you know, she used forks, not knowing anything about forks and the tribe and all that. So it's like, she didn't expect there was going to be a worldwide bestseller and there was going to be 5 movies made from her books. And, you know, so same sort of thing here. So
this probably has nothing to do with anything, but now I'm just like, you know, zooming in and out of this map. The neighborhood that Kalorama Park is in is called the Adams Morgan neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
It's a crazy diverse neighborhood known for its nightlife, but it is called the Adams Morgan neighborhood. It's a historic area. It's like an art.
I wonder if she knows that or if that's purely coincidental.
It's in big letters on this map. Wow. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
That's really cool.
It's really beautiful there, though. Like, that is definitely, like, the kind of, like, if I were to go to D.C., if I still lived on the East Coast, we used to go down to D.C. a lot for, like, races and stuff, I would definitely want to go visit and just, like, check it out. Because it looks really, really cool.
Yeah, I've been to the zoo a bunch of times, so I'm sure I've walked through that neighborhood, so.
Probably, yeah, it's a bit south of there, but.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if you go to Street View on some of these houses, holy cow.
Yeah, they're crazy. It's very, like, arty, lots of murals, very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I haven't been to D.C. since I was a kid. I want to go back so bad. Like,
I love D.C.
Yeah.
Well. I don't know that I want to go right now, but
no,
I would maybe not this right exact now. Moment. But... Yeah. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. But anyhow,
that's okay. All right, our warning. Is this our official warning?
Yes.
The official spoiler alert.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the ending. If you don't want to,
if you don't want to,
you can just pause this podcast and then you can go read the book and then come back and hit play right where you left off.
Can we? Oh, can I talk? Can we talk about my favorite Matthew?
Yes. Which one? Because I loved all of them.
I think I know what one you're going to say, Marianne.
Yes. It was my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Say it. Do it.
Okay, so this doesn't really have anything to do with the ending, but I just have to share this.
This can be the teaser. Like, this is the last thing you're going to hear before you pause it. This is your reason to go read this book. And then come back.
I loved when she asked her gay best friend Matthew to do some research for her and on the down low get some samples of DNA from some of the suspects that she had. And his response was, getting DNA from men, that's my specialty. I love that line.
My favorite from him, which also does not spoil anything, when he's so snippy with the cops, with the police, uh-huh. and he says, it's hard to hear alarm bells over the loud chewing of donuts.
He was just so.
I needed more Matthew. Yes. And I really hope, because he is Sarah's like best friend, I hope he is all over the perfect divorce.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Although he kind of turned on her for a while there. It seemed like he was like getting suspicious of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did love that he just kind of like swooped in though and was like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Yeah. Like everyone needs that friend that's going to like go to bat for him.
Yes. And what was he calling the DA, like night school attorney or something? There was somebody who was, doing, yeah. You know, because, like, or no, actually it was the DA was saying that to Matthew and Sarah was like, no, we went to Yale together. Cause the DA was like, who's this guy? Do you find him? Like he graduated from night school
or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we're ready to talk about the twist.
Now spoilers.
Okay, so which one of us, I didn't see it coming. Sarah said you did, and Kit said you did, right?
I don't know if I saw it coming, but I wasn't surprised that it turned out to be. I thought it was Bob.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ann, but I thought it was Bob because I caught his last name right away, and I know I wrote that down when he's answering the phone, then he's like, wrong number or whatever. It hangs up. And then the next chapter said his whole name. And I was like, Bob, it's his last name. Bob Miller. Miller's his last name. It's got to be him. And he was such an ass in the whole book.
And was he her midnight visitor?
That's what I thought. I put my notes too. Who is the midnight visitor?
That's what I said.
Sounds like she was having an affair with him to begin with. And they both just wanted him gone.
Yes. Well, yeah, they did, but that's the spoiler. But I guess he must have been the midnight visitor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, because that was a part in the book I was like, reread it, going, wait, what's happening here?
Yeah,
like, somebody just snuck in and has given her a nighttime booty call.
Like, yeah, right.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I think I forget. Oh yeah, I said, who the fuckity is this late night visitor? I was like, that's very. And then right after that, I was like, Bob. My next one was Bob. But also, I, like, names crack me up sometime. Like, I highlighted, like, the Nicholas Miller, like, kind of reveal. And I was like, Nick Miller from New Girl.
From New Girl.
I think I was thinking,
your name is Nicholas Robert, and you picked Bob?
Yeah.
Not Nick or Robbie. But then I was like, that's such an old name. One of my really good friends from college, his name is Bob. So.
Yeah.
And he's a Robert. And I'm trying to think if he goes by Robert at work. If he's listening to this.
It made me
this,
just
sorry,
feel
Bob.
Like Bob was a million years old.
Yes, that's like, what I'm kind of.
Like, how old is this man?
Yeah, because I think a younger guy would be like Robbie or.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Bobby.
Or even
a Bobby makes sense.
Like Rob versus Bob is like a totally.
Yeah, Rob, different. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was
that's why I was kind of. I imagined this overweight, balding, asshole attorney, not like a good looking.
Yes.
I think that was probably the point of was like, we want you thinking that Bob is like, there's no way that there's any romantic inclinations there.
Yes.
He's just like the curmudgeon at the law firm.
You're meant to think it's the husband. You're meant to think it's Scott. Like firstly, the handwriting thing. At first I was like, it's Bob. And then I was like, oh, it's Ann.
Yes.
I got the handwriting thing.
And I wish was a little more like fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And it's probably like for a purpose to keep her kind of ambiguous. And like, I was like, oh, is she like in love with Sarah? Like what's.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking of something
like
that.
And we didn't go anywhere with that. I was like, is this like a jealousy situation? Is it like, why are you all creeping up on her lake
house? It took me a while to understand that they were good friends because she calls her Mrs.
I don't think they were really friends. I think Anne thought they were friends.
Or Anne thinks they're really friends and Sarah doesn't.
Sarah's just manipulating everybody because that's what she does.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Sarah is much more calculating than we're meant to believe.
And then we found that out, didn't we?
Oh, 100% more calculating. The thing that shocked me about her, about Sarah, I was not surprised that she's the one that orchestrated it. What surprised me is that we also find out she killed her mom.
Yes.
That one, I was like, whoa, wait a second.
I watch like Criminal Minds, like it's my job, like it's my background show. And we watch a ton of true crime. And I, like, once I read that part, I highlighted it, you know, it said something like, she could have gotten away with one needle in her arm, but there's no way she could survive, like, the three
others. One needle of heroin. One needle of heroin with her tolerance wouldn't do it, but the other three I stuck in her arm would. Yes. I was like,
oh, yes!
Girlfriend!
Damn, no,
yeah. Like, oh, that was, for me, the wow, the biggest wow moment where I was like,
yes. Yeah, and then I wonder, like, how, like, in the end, like, we obviously see, you know, she orchestrated the entire thing and framed Adam for murder. Mm-hmm. But that Bob is also, like, involved. Like, to what level? I'm just like I yes. wonder how much Bob knows. Like, does
he knows
Bob,
it all?
He's the thing, but does Bob know about her mom?
That's what I mean. I don't think so.
Does Bob think he's just kind of like swooping in and helping save her from this loveless marriage with
No. He's avenging his brother's death.
Well, but there's also the like, this guy's a bum. There's something in there. I forget where it was, where like Bob feels like he's like on the same level as Sarah.
Sarah can do better than Adam because Adam's a loser.
But they end up married too. So
That she's like decades into her like murder spree.
Yeah,
I know. One of the things it's not that I didn't like it, but the whole, oh, and by the way, Kelly was pregnant. Of course she was. That is like the standard I killed my mistress trope.
Yeah.
She's always just pregnant and nobody knows and it's shocking. But I also thought for a hot second that Sarah was pregnant.
I thought she was too. I had my
notes. I think that was designed to like throw us off the trail.
That was one of those I underlined going, ooh, this is going to be important. And then as I was going through my notes later after reading it, I was like, not important. Like, she all of a sudden doubled over and threw up in the trash can. And I was like, ooh, she's pregnant.
That's why I went and looked too, because when they mentioned the daughter in the end of the book, I was wondering if the daughter was actually Adam's and not Bob's.
Because
she was only 8 and it had been 11 years since the murder.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, I was slightly disappointed in not having the court case. Yeah.
I would be really curious to have an attorney read this and give us their thoughts on it, because the whole idea that like a double homicide went to trial as quickly as this one did does not seem realistic. So I would love, like we were talking about, and I think in our last episode about how, you know, looking at things like from our own professional point of view, when we got to go, that's not how it's done. I would love to hear attorney's thoughts on this. And like, what about all the appeals process? You know, there's no mention of any sort of appeals process really that I think in the perfect divorce, they mentioned something like, I only read like the first 5% or something on my Kindle.
First part a transcript of what happened?
The first part was,
I saw that in an interview with her, and she was talking about, cause somebody had asked if it could stand alone. And she's like, yes and no, you can read it by itself because there's like a transcript at the beginning that will catch you up.
It's like, it's like Adam reflecting on his time and, I think you probably could, but I mean, I don't know. I don't see the point of reading a book that's a sequel if you haven't read the first one. That just seems pointless to me, but.
Yeah.
But I felt like that's one thing I wrote down, or I thought I did, but it disappeared. Like, I would love to see what a legal expert would say about the whole way this was run. But again, she didn't think that she was writing a major bestseller. So
skipping the trial is probably like a calculated risk. Like, because if you mess it up, if you try and write all the ins and outs of the legal process and you mess it up, then you're fucked. But if you just do like a fade to black, as it were, surprise, he's been convicted and is on death row.
Yes.
People who know can fill in the blanks, and people who don't know can just go, oh, okay. So there's probably a trial.
Right.
The interview I listened to of her today, on another podcast that I really love, she said that a lot of people thought when she first pitched it that it was going to be a courtroom thriller, drama. Okay. Like a John Grisham. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, this is not, this is a murder mystery, not a
Yeah.
Not a court. Not a procedural. So it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. She's like, I don't have that, but it was interesting. Yeah.
I guess for me, having like the most recent audiobook I'd listened to was Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult, which is very detailed on the whole courtroom process. For me, that just seemed like just such a complete 180 from what I had just listened to that struck me.
Yeah.
I think for courtroom stuff, you either have to go all the way in or you just got to kind of gloss over it.
Right.
Because you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. I just listened to a thriller too. And I'm trying to think what it is. I'm trying to look it up. Is that Buddy?
No, no, that's Oswald.
Oh, that's Oswald. All of us have dogs, but only one likes to be heard all the time.
Right? Buddy's reached his like old man era.
Oswald is barking probably at a squirrel or something.
Oh, I listened to The Marsh King's Daughter, which also kind of skipped over the court case, but that wasn't the main. No, there's another one I just listened to. I didn't write it down because I have it's an arc of it that I was reading. So it was a thriller too. And
Well, but I think that makes sense. Like what you're saying though, too, or what you're saying is as far as, why go into the detail if you're going to potentially mess something up and maybe you're going to leave some sort of make a continuity mistake in it that is going to throw the whole thing out of whack and people are going to be criticizing you about it. So unless you are an attorney who's writing a book about a courtroom case, or you're a doctor, you know, talking about some sort of medical thriller or something, sometimes it's probably just better to just fade to black.
Like, you have to be specific to like the area. So like she's, the author's from Wisconsin, even if you are an attorney and you're an attorney in Wisconsin, being an attorney in DC is going to be a completely different process. And then is it a capital crime?
It was in Virginia, not DC, which made me really mad.
Any different state is going to get in the weeds fast because you might cite a law or a procedural, situation from Wisconsin and just be like, oh, it's probably universal, and it's not.
But the whole part about it being a double homicide with an 8-week fetus made me angry. So I was curious to see what Virginia's law is now on that.
But it also, like she said, it's the book is not about the court case.
Right.
The whole point was the outcome and the fact that she waits 11 years while he's on death row and then tells him at the end, I know you didn't do it.
Yeah.
And walks out and is like, he's like, wait, hold on. And then he realizes literally as he's being
wheeled into the
murdered, that he realizes what she did.
As ice. Because there's no time for him to, he can't do anything with that information at that point.
If I remember correctly from when I started reading The Perfect Divorce, there was some line about how Sarah's not divorced me because I think she still loves me.
He's so blinded. So
what I liked about this book a lot is that there was a lot of just like kind of silliness. Do you know what I mean? There was like the stuff with the gushers. There was a lot of like just kind of throwaway moments, but then all of a sudden there'd be like a crazy, like very deep quote or comment. Let me find the one. So the line where it says, even when you have nothing left in your life, hope is the one thing that can never be taken away. And she kind of let him hold on to that for a really long time.
Yeah.
That she might still love me. She hasn't divorced me because of X, Y, and Z. There's this little bit of hope still on his part right until the very end. And then she just yanks it out from underneath them.
Yes.
But I was like, oh, that quote was like, oh, you suddenly very serious.
Okay. So I just pulled up my copy of The Perfect Divorce. And the very beginning of it is an interview with Adam. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the interviewer says, do you still have hope? And Adam says, I do. It's the one thing they can't take away from me.
Yeah.
And then also then you were famously defended by your former wife, Sarah Morgan. And he says, Sarah is my wife, not my former wife.
Uh-huh.
And it says, you've been on death row for the past 7 years and she's remained married to you. Why do you think that is? And he says, because Sarah loves me and she knows I'm innocent.
Yeah, that's so, I love that because he's operating with like one bit of information.
And so that's
have all the info.
That interview takes place, because I have it in my, it's like the a preview in the book, 8 years after. But the but this book ends 11 years. So he still has that hope. Because I love when he's starting to go down, like literally as he's being killed, he says, "I see nothing but a black canvas with the tiniest of holes punched in it, a white light growing from the center out, like an old tube television warming itself up. Images start to appear, images of Sarah meeting her, loving her, marrying her, watching her, and then everything I miss. They're almost like deleted scenes of the film. Except I didn't delete them. I just didn't pay any attention. Her planning, her plotting, calculating my demise. I underestimated her like I did so many times before. This time was one too many. The images fade and then go back. Sarah's my last thought, my last image. She was right about everything. Absolutely everything." Like, he suddenly realizes all these signs that he missed. Like, wow, she did this whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I think that's my favorite part of the book. And I don't know that I caught it as much the first time through when I read it.
Yeah.
But like that whole long con, you know, that she planned his murder, you know.
And then was willing to wait for 11 years.
You know, that's like the most evil part of her, that she not only killed Kelly, but then she also killed Adam indirectly. So she's
literally killed three people.
Yes.
Yeah. Four, if you want to count the fetus.
Yeah, four if we're counting the fetus.
And what's, makes you wonder what's going to happen to Bob in The Perfect Divorce.
I know.
Because she's a sociopath.
Like, yes.
She's out of her ever-loving mind.
Yes.
And thus far has not really faced any consequences.
Yeah. But the book, like, Geneva makes you like her. I liked her so much more. Adam drove me crazy. Like, we talked about the aunt thing. I have tons of quotes written down where he's just like, you know, Sarah's career always comes before me, before everything. I don't foresee that. Like, I'm like, dude, shut up. You can't just say that and go have an affair.
Yeah.
Like, she's funding your lifestyle, dude. Can I just talk about the mother-in-law for a minute? Because I hated her. Oh my gosh. What a bitch. I mean, she was just out of control.
She's blind. Like, no clue. Oh, my baby boy. My cubby bear.
There's a quote somewhere. Hold on. I highlighted it. I was dying. She says, hold on, I gotta scroll.
Was it the one that she says, if she would have been more focused on loving you than her career, you wouldn't have been diddle dipping elsewhere in the first place? I put that as one of my favorite,
I highlighted it, but she says something like, she calls him Cubby Bear, and she's like, he goes, "Mom, you can't just call me that. I'm in jail."
You came over home, Mommy, and you're bringing me gushers, but now I'm not in jail.
Like, Mom, I'm in jail. You can't call me Cubby Bear. Well, there it is. Yeah, she goes, "I'll be back tomorrow, Cubby Bear." She whispers it in my ear. "Mom, don't call me that. I'm in jail." Like, dude. Like, they have such a, they've got a weird little messed up relationship.
Very much so. Very much so.
Very codependent.
Okay.
Because titles are like my obsession. So when I started out reading and I was going to annotate, I wrote down the number of times that Geneva Rose used the word perfect.
Nice.
Because I like how she has perfect and it's crossed off on the title. So one, two, three, four, six times. And three of them happen in like the first three pages or four pages, which I thought was interesting. But it's, as I'm looking at him too, because it's the English teacher in me. I got to see the patterns. "You shouldn't have," he says, "accepting the perfectly wrapped present." This is all like, let's see, that's page 5. The next one's page 10. The next one's page 13. And then it doesn't happen again until like page 100.
Yeah.
"This allows me the perfect view of all that nature has to offer, this neck of the woods. She was perfect, something I could neither conceive nor comprehend." So it's like the beginning, this focus on how perfect everything is.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, sure, we don't have the perfect marriage, but who does?
Right.
And then, "You look perfect," but then this is my favorite, "It was the perfect crime and the perfect setup by whoever did this." So it's like kind of switches into, and I was like, yeah, my nerdiness likes that.
I like that too. That's interesting. Yeah. It's something I didn't look at, but
there's it's Oswald. Not something I would have. I heard his little clicky clacks.
Like his little tippy toes.
He brought me a toy. He wants me to play.
Oh, of course.
He's like, man, it's time for you to play.
Well, come say hi.
What
come
about
say hi to our friends?
Come
here.
Oh.
Are you taking his toy?
He just does that. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's just him.
His like, yeah.
The other part that I'm wondering if it's going to pop up in The Perfect Divorce was the Adam's agent, Daniel.
Oh my God.
Unconcerned with like, I think the note.
Now you can write the best book. You can do it.
Yes.
Jail.
Yeah. I was like, I think I wrote in my notes, I was like, is Daniel part of this plot? Like, he's like, I need to jog his creative juices. Let's murder the mistress.
So let's put him in jail. Yeah.
Like, I wrote, I'm pretty sure Adam is his only client, and he was so annoyed that he was fucking asked about writing a book, and he was like, you know what's going to fix this? Murder.
Murder. My quote from Adam on that was, my lot, because this is so on point with his character, my eyes light up thinking of money, fame, and power.
Yeah.
Dude, you're in jail for murder. Yeah. And he's like, ooh, but I could write a tell-all.
Yeah.
And he makes the money. He makes the money, but he doesn't get to use it.
Right.
So.
Right.
And that's that little bit of hope that he has where he's like, oh, I could write an amazing tell-all because I didn't do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could write, even though he's like absconding from the prison, like he's made so many fucking mistakes. Even if he didn't do the actual murder, he has done so many things wrong.
Yes.
That like, there's no way he's getting off this scot-free.
Yeah.
But he's still just like, when mommy takes care of it and this is all over, I'm going to write a great book. Like, dude.
I think he was fishy to begin with, but he literally goes crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his stuff that he says towards the end.
About being an aunt.
I also loved, too. Yeah, about the aunt. I loved, too, the something about being an asshole. I just saw it. I wrote it down.
It kind of makes you
like,
wonder.
I've been an asshole because I'm in jail or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, jail is already turning me into a hardened asshole. Or maybe I've been one all along. You've been one all along, dude.
All along.
It kind of makes you wonder what Sarah ever saw in him to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, she talks a lot about how hot he is. Mm. That they still are. She's still attracted to him after all this time.
I think he's like arm candy.
Yes.
And maybe. Also no competition, which I think backfired. So she's got all these like ambitions.
Right.
And, you know, she wants to be a powerful attorney, or she is a powerful attorney. But when they're starting out, like, she has all these things and goals that she wants. And he's no competition for her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, she doesn't have to worry about his schedule. She doesn't have to worry about his hopes and dreams. Like, she can buy him a lake house. For those keeping track, Oswald has...
It's not Oswald. Somehow or another, the bracket for my microphone came off my desk. So
mine tips over all the time.
I think
Adam's just, he's arm candy. It's like the opposite. Usually it's like the high powered, like,
right, the guy has a woman who's just like, arm candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just arm
candy.
And
his masculinity can't handle that.
Yeah.
He can't handle being the one that. Just standing behind her as a powerful woman, he's like.
But he also doesn't care about making enough money to support himself either.
Right.
So it's very.
He really, for someone who loses his like shit, he really kind of has the perfect life. Like in terms of like, she's making a shit ton of money. He gets a lake house to himself all the time. The only thing he has to do is try and keep it in his pants publicly.
Yeah, which he clearly can't. Yeah. He also, at one point, he thinks about killing Rebecca, the reporter.
Oh yeah.
He has that whole, like, I think about my hands around her neck just squeezing. And I'm like,
but that's also,
dude.
I think that's also to throw us off the track, too.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that he is capable of killing someone because he's thinking about it. Did you guys have any favorite quotes other than the ones we already?
The ones I wrote down were the ones that I felt like were not necessarily out of place, but just kind of stood out more as being a little more serious.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like funny quotes that I thought, but like the one that I was like, oh, that's telling That says, there's no point in arguing with her. Parents are typically delusional when it comes to their own children. I was like, fucking accurate.
Yeah.
And I was like,
a baby girl can't do anything wrong.
Right. So like that, to me, I was like, that spoke more to like this whole relationship that they have. Right, like she knows right. perfectly well that it's not worth her time or energy to argue with Eleanor.
Yes.
She is delusional. It's not going to serve her at all. I was like, okay. Like that felt like a truth. There was a lot of parts of the story where I was like, oh, I don't, this is trying to point me at something else. This is trying to throw me off my game. Yeah. But then there'd be these little moments where I was like, oh, okay. Like this is giving me actual information.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I loved the, at the end when she says, Adam, you will spend the rest of your very brief life thinking about me. Yes, and I want you to know that I will never think about you again.
Yes.
I was like, damn girl. Like, okay.
Yes.
Like good for you. Because, and at that point I would like, you're realizing.
You didn't know for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You're realizing as the audience, like you're not quite there yet. You don't know that she orchestrated this whole thing. Yeah. And at that moment I was like, bitch, you cold as ice. Like, good for you. Like, good for you because he did the thing and he ruined your life.
It's been 11 years and you have not forgotten that he cheated on you. Yeah, so like,
he did this thing and then, like, 2 seconds later, you're like, oh, shit, she did it. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, the whole idea, too, that the fact that she was his defense lawyer, so it wasn't like he could call his lawyer and says, I've got new evidence because she was the lawyer, so... There was no way for a last-minute reprieve.
No.
Which is why she was so good at the crime, because she knows how a lawyer is going to question.
Yes.
And how a lawyer is going to, you know, what they're going to look at.
Yeah.
I had a few that I thought were funny. The first was, my corner office is on the 14th floor, which is as high as one can get in D.C. without erecting a phallus taller than Mr. Washington's. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
I also liked Matthew, also said, I know people in high places who are willing to go to low places for me. It was like an ellipsis dot, dot, dot for me.
Yeah.
When Sarah says, oh, was it our marriage when you were balls deep in some waitress?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I use the term balls deep way more than anyone. More. When I read that, I was like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love when they're talking about Matthew and she's like, somebody, I think Anne's like, oh, he really likes you. And she's like, he's gay. And somebody says, yeah, but he'd be straight for you.
Yes, yes.
And then my last one, which cracked me up when I was reading it. After a cacophony of shouting and tangling and untangling of polyester, the chaos subsides and heavy panting begins to fill the space. Because that's when the cop is like, we're fighting him again. Polyester. I was like, untangling of polyester.
Now, there's definitely some good lines in there. So,
yeah.
I feel like that's so ridiculously specific because you know, like if you've ever worn polyester, like even just like the noise.
And I'm
of it
thinking of cop uniforms. Cop uniforms are just literally polyester. And
I just like it's a little sticky. Like there's so much to that one sentence that you're just like, oh my, I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh my gosh.
But if you read it out of context, like we've read the book, we know exactly what that means.
Yes.
But if you read it out of context and you're just talking about like the tangling and untangling of polyester, heavy panting begins to fill the tape.
Because it's a bunch of old pops fighting. Like...
But it could be something else. You're just like, wait.
Could be something. Which is that those lines are one of the things that makes me want to read more of her books because I think the humor, just like we love her social media because she's really funny. Her husband's funny. And that comes out in the book. And I hope that it comes out in more like later books.
And what I also appreciate about her social media is that how much she does like for her fans, you know, that she's like signing books and like she's still doing
everything
things.
Goes. She sneaks in and signs books.
Yes. And I love that. I think that I love when authors like use their social media to like connect with their fans like that. I just think I love that about it.
Yeah.
She has a Facebook group that I'm in that, you know, we've all been in fan groups where it's like separate from the author, but her and Drew post in there.
Oh, fun.
And it's really
is it her? What is she called? She calls it her little silly little geese.
The silly gooses.
The silly gooses. And Drew, her husband, is a moderator. Like, yes. He's on there all the time, like, moderating it, and
Yeah, and I love that.
And I was like, I need to join that. That sounds fun.
I'm in it. It's great. Like, it, and it's super fun. It does make it feel like a community where you're like, people are talking, they're going to her events and they're, you know, sharing pictures of the events and some behind the scenes stuff. And it's really kind of just like a fun place to be if you like her books. And I've read, I think I've read most of her books that she's published and they're all, I shouldn't say all, most of them are kind of that same vein of like the mystery thriller, but she does have the one, I think my favorite is It's a Date Again. Have you guys seen that one?
No, I haven't. But that's that her rom, her one romance.
It's,
that
it's like a it's a rom com, but it still has that little bit of mystery kind of thrown in it because it's a girl who, is like just trying to figure out like why can't I ever find love, like that kind of very like, typical trope. And she's one of the boys she's dating says that he loves her, and she's like, "Good God, that's terrifying!" No, no, no. And then she gets hit by a car and gets amnesia. And she can't remember. She's dating these three guys, like, you know, dating app kind of dating.
And
she can't remember which one told her that he loved her. Because she had, right before she gets hit by the car, she has this realization of like, oh my God, I love him. Like, if I want love, I have to stop running away from it. And then she's literally running towards him when she gets hit by the car. But it's really funny because you see her dating these three guys trying to like figure out which one she loves.
I need to read that.
And they're a disaster. It's good.
What's it called?
She has a new It's a Date Again.
Okay. She has a new one coming out that she was talking about that is like a zombie love story.
Oh. Yes.
And it's called, what'd she say it was called? Dating After the End of the World or something like that. Like the title was fantastic. Yeah. And I'm trying to find it because I don't even know if it's like, no, it it's must have a release date because I think she said September of this year it comes out.
Let's look.
I know. I'm like, I wonder. That sounds funny.
Yeah. Dating After the End of the World.
Dating After the End of the World. Yeah. Yeah.
That one, September September 30th. Yeah.
Geneva, so it's if you're listening, we would love an art.
Yeah.
We'd love to love that for you. I know. I was like, can we like in her Facebook group? I mean, you've been in it a while now. Can we promote our podcast? Can we be like,
hey. I have commented on a couple, like when it kind of comes up and people are talking about it, I have said, oh, we're, you know, we're reading it for our book club and this, that, the other.
Because you've been in it long. I'm like, if I join now, I'd be like, hey, Drew's going to be like, come on, no. But seriously.
Okay, he just took off with a box.
Get it.
He had his toy in here with him, but then he just took a box.
He's doing the box.
He's like, I'm out.
Oh well, paper is made of wood. Wood is
it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good.
Well, we're probably about ready to wrap this up.
Yeah,
I think
and announce our next book.
It is that time. I bought like the hard copy of the book. Our next book is Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus.
And we'll have some interesting things to talk about.
There's a TV. I don't know if either of you have watched the TV show.
It's on like Apple TV.
I think so. Yeah. Marianne, I would be curious if you watched it because we talk about the history stuff, which we will next month.
Yeah.
Very different in the show. Very different in the show. So Lessons in Chemistry is about a female chemist in the, what are we, 60s?
It's like the late '50s, early
late '60s. Late '50s, '60s. She's a mom as well. So that's one of the reasons we're reading it because May, of course, we have Mother's Day. And we wanted to pick a book about moms, and that was a good one to do. So
yeah
May 26th, that's when that lesson will drop. I am too. I'm ready to re-listen to it and like pick up things I didn't pick up before, especially because it's been a few years since I've read it. So all right, everybody, if you have not listened to our first book club episode, All Because of a Book, or our March recent reads, what are you waiting for? Go anywhere you can find podcasts, listen to us. Also join us again on May 12th for our episode of our April recent reads, where we will talk about everything that we read in the month of April. And then of course, May 26th, when we will talk about Lessons in Chemistry.
Don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And let us know if there's a book you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club. We always like book reads.
Yes.
So until next time, keep reading.
Keep exploring.
And don't forget to pack some snacks.
And turn on your mic.
Don't forget to unmute.